This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man,
we never thought we'd be talking about a guy losing his mind like Bill Belichick has lost his. But that's where we are. And Mike Bell, it is funny because everybody has revisionist history as to how they felt at the time when they thought the Falcons were going to potentially hire him as our next head coach. Now, look, this discussion we're about to get into, guys, is no way, shape, or form am I pointing the finger at Raheem Morris or anybody. The hire has been made. We are where we are. But aren't we lucky?
Yep.
Aren't we lucky that we're not dealing with this stuff that Belichick is now having North Carolina deal with? And I know what you're going to say. Oh, Dukes and Bell, we wouldn't be dealing with it. It'd be different here. Not with this girlfriend. Mike, this has become a fiasco, and everybody's talking about it because this is so un-Bill Belichick.
Remember this, guys, this is the most dialed in, most joyless, most focused person in the history of the NFL. Now, we have some good friends that both played and coached for Bill Belichick, and we know there is a human side. He projects one side, and there is a human side. And yes, men generally, some like a lot of women, and some like women more than others, but some guys are happily married. Bill kind of always had sort of nice, attractive, middle-aged, age-appropriate, some would say, not my business, what some people say, women in his life. But this thing is interesting because in the parallel universe, if Belichick comes here, is he on that plane from Boston to Palm Beach? Is that, in fact, how we met this Miss Hudson? Either way, call it a midlife, late-life crisis, but it is funny because if you're a North Carolina fan, I told Carl, I read some interesting stuff yesterday where there's a lot of boosters that are like, we're never on board with this hire in the first place, that are now saying, what have we gotten ourselves into with Bill in Chapel Hill?
So for Falcon fans, for everybody that wanted him, still want him, would you want this situation to be, listen, and we've got our own stuff that we're dealing with. I mean, I get it. We've been the talk of the NFL for something that was completely off base and should not have happened. But the fact is, Mike, all of this stuff that's playing out with him now would be playing out as the Falcons head coach. And I just think we dodged a bullet. I didn't think they were going to hire him. I told you guys that way back when, but when it all played out, everybody said this was a mistake. I don't feel that way now. Like, even if he was here, I don't know if we'd be getting the best Bill Belichick. And, Mike, how often did we debate where was he in his career with evaluating talent, with drafts? And, guys, do you realize he only won one playoff game without a guy named Tom Brady?
Correct.
One. So in 20 years, he won one playoff game without a guy named Tom Brady. So the whole idea was, oh, we're going to get the secret sauce, and he was going to come here and do all these wonderful things for us. Mm. And now we're watching this soap opera play out in front of us.
So as I said, I mean, for guys who go, well, I don't care. Well, you don't care, but everyone cares. As I said, Courtney, my hot neighbor, cares. His water cooler talk. Everybody, the casual fan, is talking about this. So when you look at where Bill Belichick is, and you guys got to go back. I guess, as we said, Carl, people can't remember the literally one-syllable answers in press conferences, the old interviews he used to do on our sister station up in Boston.
W-E-E-I.
You know, where it's just, I mean, he always wanted to control everything. And now you've basically got a 24-year-old woman controlling everything about you.
Yes.
And again, as we said, it's not the first time that somebody at a later stage in life has been smitten with a young, sweet young thing. But it's kind of crazy to see a guy that was the ultimate control freak now look like he has no control of his own life.
I just want to hear all of you who said, we're making a mistake.
Right.
Falcons absolutely have to have Bill Belichick. I want to hear you guys today tell us that. 404-726-0929.
Right.
Because you're not. You're going to be like, what? No, Raheem's our coach, man. I don't know what you're talking about. No. Y'all weren't saying that when Belichick was being interviewed. And the crazy thing is nobody knew we'd go down this road. Even if you thought we were going to hire Belichick, you thought we were going to get the guy that was, as I said yesterday, Mike, singularly focused on one thing, which is winning.
Right.
That's all he cared about. You guys, and Mike, to Mike's point, you know the funniest thing about all of this now is every time I hear or think about Bill Belichick, I always think about how they would play a bad game and they'd be grilling him with questions.
It's on to Denver.
That's the answer.
On to Miami.
Whatever the opponent was.
Whoever it was.
On to Buffalo.
That was the answer.
I'm focused on Buffalo.
He would never answer it.
Yeah, we'll get ready for the Jets next week.
That's
more snaps
it.
I guess. Sure. Big kick. Yeah, big kick.
Chipping away at it.
Yeah, that's right. So we practice it.
Yeah.
Seattle, zero.
There you go.
And Mike, now it's, we're not talking about that.
No, I just, I thought that was out of line. Guys, and see, it's so funny. Think about this. In your life, did you ever think, hey, you see this situation where you've got the controlling girlfriend say, we're not talking about that.
And it's then, a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
You know, and then Bill releases his own statement. And then the University of North Carolina releases a statement about it. And then CBS doubles down and says, there were no ground rules to this interview.
There shouldn't have been. It's CBS Sunday morning, Mike.
And no one gives a crap about your book unless you're going to really spill the tea, which he doesn't anyway.
No. I want to hear about all the stuff that we don't know about. What happened with Spygate? For real.
Right.
Tell us that. You tell me that in chapter 4, I'm buying the book.
Right.
Right? What happened with Deflategate? I didn't care when it was all said and done, but what really happened? Tell me that in chapter 5, I'm buying the book.
Right.
Mike, How well did you really get along with Tom Brady? I don't want to hear about the art of winning.
How did your relationship with Bob Kraft disintegrate?
Chapter 2. I'm buying the book.
Right.
None of that, guys, is in this book. None of that. He doesn't even mention Bob Kraft in this entire book. So for that, you know, to be said, that's why they wanted to interview him. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Why are we talking about this? Because I think we dodged one. As much as we talk about all the stuff that has happened with our football team and our organization, as I'm watching this from afar, Mike, I'm laughing.
Right.
But I'm also going, thank goodness, this is not going on here. By the way, is this Jordan? I don't want to disrespect her. Is she going to ruin him? Let's discuss this.
It is interesting. There's been, and again, it's funny because I mentioned the Yoko Ono thing a few times, and not everybody gets the reference because, again, you've got to be of a certain age, but if you can Google it or, see, the thing is, you're not going to really get this on Google because it's just something that my generation just assumed for years that she ruined the Beatles and that she was she had too much influence on John Lennon. And look, John and Yoko were in love, and that's beautiful, and love takes many different shapes, Carl. it's in the eye of the beholder. It's what's on the inside. Yeah. But I mean, when somebody, a girl gets behind a guy and screws something up, that's called Yokoing the band. And so whether it's an influence, for instance, some would say, not everyone, bear with me on this one, some would say that Colin Kaepernick was just kind of a middle-of-the-road athlete that didn't have strong political views. He got involved with a woman that sort of energized his feelings about issues that maybe he hadn't felt before, and then perhaps steered him in a new direction, which led to his choosing to do and use the platform for how he did it.
We know it wouldn't be the first time. I am more curious about this, and this is why I'm asking this question, guys. She's 24. Okay, age is nothing but a number. Maybe. But she's amassed an $8 million real estate portfolio now.
Is he co-signing these loans?
Within months of meeting Bill Belichick. Mike, who else is co-signing these loans? I mean, give me a break.
Right.
To see this, I was like, okay, not only is she saying, we're not talking about that, now she's got a real estate portfolio where she's bought homes, apparently, for $7.5 million.
A couple of townhouses, like, right down the street. So she's in a hot zip code,
Come on, Mike. $610,000 cottage home in Cape Cod. I'm thinking to myself, where is this coming from, people?
Well, now you've got, like, Belichick's, I guess, is it the daughter-in-law saying that even she thought it was weird that the girlfriend kind of takes the stand in the interview to say, no, we're not talking about that. So this thing is weird. If you're the University of North Carolina, there's a great article. You and I talked about it. I think it was about, 6 weeks ago, two months ago?
Yes.
And they got into the nuts and bolts of how they got Belichick to Chapel Hill and how there was basically the athletic director wasn't really feeling it, but the chancellor was and some boosters were, and there's this whole power struggle and then the contract and how things got done and how Belichick tried to leverage other things to get it. And then the idea his idiot son was going to somehow take over. I mean, son, sorry. You can decide if he's an idiot. See how he does his D.C. and Carolina. But it's going to be interesting to see if some folks get some buyer's remorse up there with the Tar Heels.
Yeah. On top of all of this, by the way, we're just laying all of this out for you because this may be the beginning of the end. She also, all right, not only did she control that interview on Sunday morning, but to lose money, to Mike's point, for the University of North Carolina to not be on Hard Knocks, to find out that she was behind that and basically said, nah, we're not doing that. When did Belichick start having people make decisions for him, speaking for him, thinking for him? This is why I'm saying. Now, you can say Dukes and Bell, y'all are crazy. Y'all tripping, man. Look, he's going to be fine. If you don't believe us, listen to what Charles Barkley said to our buddy Dan Patrick about this whole situation.
From what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got. But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good, but I am concerned from what I'm hearing. It's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
And he's such a control freak, but he's relinquished control, it feels like. That's what's surprising to me.
Yeah, I have very strict rules on things. Don't ask me no personal questions. Nobody in my family can speak. No, I'm the one who's famous. I'm the one who have to deal with all the crap. No, don't say anything. Because if you say something, it's just going to muddy the water. That's what I call it. If any family member speak out, it's just going to muddy the water.
Or girlfriend.
Right.
Charles is right. And this is why this is so awkward and weird in this moment for Belichick. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. 404-726-0929. Of course, that's our text line. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We got a lot to chop up, guys. Braves off day. Big series starting tomorrow against the Dodgers. We also will let you hear what our quarterback coach, T.J. Yates, had to say about the biggest challenge for Michael Penix, and also what these wide receivers need to do, because Ike Hilliard also spoke as the wide receivers coach yesterday. And, Mike, he said an interesting couple of things about the wide receiving core, and yes, that includes Kyle Pitts. That's all on the way. But this thing, man, Mike and I we're watching from afar, and we're like, can you believe what's going on?
Now, I mean, it's funny because, for the record, and before you guys go, didn't you want, no. We were very adamant. I know I was certainly wanting Jim Harbaugh, and I know that the odds on that were just, you'd have to really double what the charges were going to pay him to get him. But
they didn't even interview him, did they?
No, I think there was a conversation. Okay. I don't think it was a face-to-face. I have to go back and look at the notes on that. But remember, Belichick's on the SS Arthur Blank.
He's on the yacht.
He's going to go.
He's on the yacht.
And that's why he's so petty with the, you know, wearing those Super Bowl 51 shirts that she likes to parade around in, because that's Bill. Like I said, unless Bill had created this unbelievable bulletproof facade, that's just that. It's just a facade, and this guy's as petty and as childish as any other coach that's walked the sideline at times.
I got to tell you this, though. If you're North Carolina, you better be concerned.
Right.
Because this has disaster written all over it, and the season isn't even started
right.
yet.
Now, I don't know, would they have signed off on a Cousins thing? Because you guys know this, if Belichick came here, Terry Fontenot would simply be dotting the I's and crossing the T's, because Belichick was going to run the show.
He might not even be here, Mike.
Right, and that's a lot of guys that are probably exited because Bill's going to bring in his people, as many people he can bring from his experience in the league and certainly with the Patriots. My knock against Belichick was everybody loses their fastball. Chuck Knoll lost his fastball. Chuck Knoll drafted all those Steelers teams at the end. He could never find, as much as he treated Terry Bradshaw like crap, he could never find a viable replacement. And he could never find a replacement for Joe Green and all those amazing players that all went in the Hall of Fame.
You're right.
You know, and Bill Walsh stepped away on his own accord, probably one of the best to go out on his own. But, I mean, everybody loses their fastball. Jimmy Johnson lost his fastball with the Dolphins. So the idea that Belichick was going to come down some here and reinvent himself, that's why I wasn't buying it.
No, and I wasn't either. I just felt like it was the wrong hire, and how long was he going to be here? Big O, great work behind the scenes. He said Harbaugh had a second interview scheduled, never took it. All right. You still want him? 404-726-0929. We're coming back. Daily downloads on the way. Most improved player. He should have won another award. Stukes and Bell.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Got a great tweet from Samar. He hits us up. It put him up. See Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL, and Dukes and Bell 929, and basically said, I like the fact that you guys didn't want Belichick, and I didn't. He says, however, that doesn't mean Raheem was necessarily the right hire.
See, two things can be true.
So here's the deal with that, and I will say this. There was no long-term viability with Belichick. It was a nice in the moment move who got everybody excited based on his history of winning chips. But again, I told you, one win in the playoffs without a guy named Tom Brady. If Rod works out, and we're going to see, by the way, let's not clown around. This is a big season. If you felt like his quarterback failed him last year, well, and you feel like we did everything we needed to do in the draft, Mike, he's got a better team, better equipped to not only win the division, but to make a playoff run. If they fail in that moment, this upcoming season, it is coaching. It is no longer about, oh, this, that, and the other. It is coaching. So with that said, if it works out and Rob becomes that guy, there's more long-term viability with him and building this than I think there was with Bill Belichick. He was only going to be around, guys, I don't know how long North Carolina thinks he's going to be around. He's only going to be around for a few more years. I'm not talking about, God forbid, anything bad happening. I'm just saying, Mike, that passion and fire to coach, it happened to – you know, some of the all-time greats, Mike, we saw it with Bobby Bowden. Right. At the end where you get to that age where you're there's no connection to what's going on.
No, and I said this, you know, at the time, you know, back last summer or last offseason, it was just Belichick, guys, if you look at the – and go look at the draft record. Look at how, you know, you think about all those teams. And that's where you really do give credit to Brady. You know, if you take away that special sauce, some of those teams, he seemed to always do a better job of hitting on defense and offense. He missed on wide receivers.
Everybody.
He missed on a number. Now, they're hidden gems like the Wes Welkers, the undrafted, the Amendolas, and the seven things like that. That's one of those things, you know, that's just shooting darts. And they came up with that and got it. But, I mean, he – I got to be honest with you guys, lost his fastball in a big way. And if you don't believe me, look, you can go on Google and just search Patriots draft by season and watch where he had pro bowlers and guys that were elites and guys that lasted and guys that were just nobodies. So, I mean, that's on his record. And then you got to go come in and find a quarterback. His best buddy in the entire business is Nick Saban. You didn't think he had a scouting report on Mac Jones?
Who?
They bring Mac Jones in. And this is another example of why I didn't want Belichick. Your ego is writing checks. Your staff can't cash. You're bringing in two guys that never coached offense. And you just think by sure will that, you know, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are going to become offensive coordinators?
Well, those are easy decisions.
But that's just sad. I mean, it's pathetic is how it played out.
It is, but that tells you where he was. Those are decisions because they're in-house and, well, we'll make way. That is not being smart and going out and saying, you know what? We're not good at this. I'm not good at this anymore. I need to go get a bright young mind who's showing us things around the National Football League. Or even in college. You're seeing a lot of college coaches make that jump. You know, Chip Kelly's back in the NFL after going to college. Mike, I'm with you. But the decision was easy because that's his we'll just make way.
Right.
404-726-0929. Appreciate it, Samar. Thanks for chiming in. I think the Raheem thing, we've got to see how it plays out. And if it doesn't work or we don't get to the playoffs here in the next couple of seasons, guys, we're looking for another coach. It's just that simple. No, there's no sugarcoating it. So, but to say he's not necessarily the right hire, we got to wait on that. I can't tell you that after 1 year. And I'm willing to say this too, Mike, by the way. His quarterback failed him. Now, we can talk about the decision-making to allow that quarterback to continue to play, but his quarterback failed him. This year, no excuses.
No, I mean, look, if you go back and you look at that first year of Coach Ra, I mean, when you're 6-3 and in the catbird seat and you don't make the playoffs, that's a fail. You know, there were things, you know, the good news is we feel warm and fuzzy about Michael Penix Jr. I mean, some of these decisions were beyond Ra's, let's be honest. We believe his decision-making, although we're still kind of confused about why you went two quarterbacks at the same draft. We were under the impression from D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC. Coach wanted, you know, the veteran, and the GM fell in love with Penix, which is fine. My biggest thing with Coach Ra is you're not a rookie head coach, and you manage the clock at times like you were a rookie head coach. You cost us the Washington game is the one that sticks in most people's minds because that was just brutal and inexcusable.
I don't disagree.
100%. But you didn't listen to what I said.
I'll say this too. The over his head thing, Mike. And again, I don't know this. This has not been said to me. But it's easy to say, I just paid a guy $100 million and he needs to play. And if that's over your head, even if you think, hey, he's not getting it done right now and you want to make the change when that kind of investment has been made, which it was in Kirk Cousins. And I said this, at some point, guys, salaries come into play. They just do. That's how this thing works in pro sports.
And in Coach Ra's defense, I mean, it's sort of it's very Falcon-y. It's very unprecedented. We've never seen a guy be basically the best quarterback in a single game that any Falcon fan has ever seen, from Matt Ryan to Steve Bartkowski to anybody who dressed out here, and then see him, it looked like the Monstar stole his skills. And then the fact that the coach, because the circumstances, and he defended it, and we argued and asked him every single week up there at Flowery Branch about why don't you go with Penix Jr. He says, well, I'm not taking a proven piece out during a one-possession game, talking about the Chargers game, for instance. But unfortunately, so there were some things that, you know, I don't know how a veteran coach or anybody with even more Super Bowl wins or anything else could handle that. It just played out and it was embarrassing. But once the game was, we're meeting something with Michael Penix Jr., the coach also screwed him up.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up as we were talking about Bill Belichick. Aren't you glad we didn't hire him? Hey, man.
It's just strange, man.
It's awkward. It is the most awkward thing I've seen from him in his public life, which is still very private, by the way. Mm. What do you know about Belichick? I mean, seriously, don't tell me his dad was a coach. We know that. What do you know? You don't know a whole lot. And all of a sudden now
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here.
He's got this young lady.
I am too.
He's trotting around, Mike, and it's just gotten awkward. All right, man. Big O's behind the glass, our engineer. Day's our executive producer. Let's get to the Daily Download.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Come on, stop. Congratulations to our man Dyson Daniels, named the most improved player.
Hey.
He wins the award. I believe he should have won Defensive Player of the Year, night in and night out. This guy made a difference on the defensive end. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many games he won for the Hawks, but I would tell you it's 10 or more. Easily with the there were nights, guys, he had 7-8 steals in a game.
No, have you had that stupid baseball stat, wins above replacement? Who is the average defender that you're replacing? You're right. He'd have at least 10 to 15 games. Think about last minute steals, getting the, you know, whether it's sort of facilitating another turnover or getting something to happen on the fast break. Dyson Daniels was doing all of that this season.
Let's hear
Go outside, nerd. Yeah,
well, I'm just telling you. Let me hear Dyson talk about this award.
I'm a humble guy, and I don't like to, you know, go at anyone or anything. But, I knew that, you know, I deserve this award the most. You know, I feel like I improved the most this year. And, you know, I feel like my first 2 years, you know, I couldn't really do any worse.
Nope. He struggled. As we said at the time, and, you know, Carl and I were like, I don't know anything about Dyson Daniels, but we were impressed from the moment we had the first interview with him. And then he doubled down and just played like a rock star.
My concern was the offense. Coming from the Pelicans at the time, he just didn't show he had the ability to be a consistent scorer. Everybody I talked to said he can play defense. Okay, great. But guess what? He's pretty damn good offensively, too. And if he continues to grow, Mike, he's going to be a force, man. And he even admitted, what's the next thing you need to improve on?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one is the shooting, you know, just being able to become a more consistent shooter, being able to shoot off the dribble, being able to, you know, come off pin downs and make catch and shoot shots. You know, the league's, you know, trending so like towards, you know, everyone having to be able to shoot, to be out there on the floor. So for me, that's a big one, you know, the free throw line. But I think it's the offensive end.
Offensive end. Dyson Daniels winning the Most Improved Player Award, but he is also the first Hawk to address Landry Fields being let go. Hawks former general manager. They are currently in the search process as we speak for basically a president to come in and oversee everything. Here's Dyson Daniels on that situation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I heard about the news and, you know, it's something that, you know, I don't have a say in or I'm not involved in as much, but obviously, you know, Landry, yeah, he brought me here. He gave me this opportunity. So, you know, we had a really good connection, really good relationship. And, you know, credit to him, I feel like he's built a really good roster. And obviously, you know, Onzi being named the GM now, you know, he's a guy that I also have a really good connection with and I've had some really good chats with. So I'm sure he's going to, you know, pick it up and put it in the right place. And, yeah, like I said, you know, they're both great guys, and you know that's the business we live in. You know, we don't get to have any say in those decisions, but I'm just looking forward to next year and going out there and playing.
That is Dyson Daniels. It's Dukes and Bell Daily Download, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't let's just live well. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
One game was a blowout. The other one was, I think, quite a bit of a surprise. Houston blows out Golden State 131-116. Score not indicative, guys. It was a 25-point lead at 1:30. They fought back, but the starters were on the bench. That series is going back to Golden State.
By the way, did you see, who was it, the fake tough guy, Dylan Brooks?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll break his thumb. If you didn't see it, Steph Curry's got a problem with his thumb. You know, again, you can get hit in the act of shooting, that happens, and then you hand in the ball, it could get a pass, it bends the thumb back. But Dylan Brooks is such a creep. You know, yeah, you know, guys with an injury, I'll exploit it. Guy's got an ankle, I'll go at it. Oh, shut up, man, you big phony. And I love Ime Udoka, I think he does a great job, but that Dylan Brooks is such a jerk.
Somebody needs to punch him.
I mean,
seriously.
May I introduce Draymond Green?
Well, it may happen before the series is over. We're going to see. But the Lakers are done.
Looked like they were going to blow it, by the way, too. Rockets had a stretch there in half there. You're like, uh-oh. Sort of losing some momentum. They looked like they were going to give it back.
Well, Steve Kerr was like, empty the bench. And they came right in and made a run. But Houston played well, man. This is going to go to a game six, and we'll see what happens. But the Lakers are done, man. They lose 103-96. The question is LeBron. Guys, he'll be 41 in December. 41, which means that rolls into next season, and you start to wonder, is Father Time catching up with him? Mike, here's what he said about retirement after the game.
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group, and kind of just talk through it and see what happens, and then just have a conversation with myself on how long I want to continue to play. I don't know the answer to that right now, to be honest, so we'll see.
All right, here's my other issue. And I held out on this, but soft body Luka didn't help. Luka looks out of shape. Luka still looks plump. Mike, and with all the things that we talked about with this trade, it didn't pan out. You make this trade, you better be in the NBA Finals.
First off, there's nothing wrong with being Rubenesque, Carl, to have, you know, you like girls built for comfort?
You asking?
Many NBA fans do.
Are you asking?
I'm just saying, don't worry, guys. I'm going to get on program. I did backslide a little bit. We did not have, for your record, we did not have In-N-Out Burger in Dallas.
No, you did not. That's true. It's a Cali thing.
Love it, number two.
Okay.
Extra cheese.
Soft body Luka didn't help. Y'all, am I lying?
No. I mean, like, here's what happened. If we're going to get down to this, and I heard Day-Day and I were talking about this last night during the game. J.J. Redick looked like a guy that was coaching the playoffs for the first time.
Oh!
Because he was.
Oh!
Because he didn't know what he was doing. Now, look, you didn't – Day-Day, who was the trade that didn't get consummated? Because
Williams out of Charlotte.
Yeah, the big fella they couldn't get in the trade, because obviously Davis goes to Dallas. We get that. They never had the big body. Their big bodies can't match up, but they had – they decided, J.J. Redick decided to not have big bodies in the paint. You made Rudy Gobert look like frickin' Bill Russell last night.
You did.
That's on J.J. Redick. Even if your big man is a stiff, at least put a body in there to try to be a rim protector. Do something. I mean, I think that's on Redick.
Okay.
And Coach LeBron should have squashed it and said, get some size in the paint.
J.J. Redick, by the way, stormed out of the pre-press conference.
Oh.
If you didn't see this, because he got called out for playing his starters. Guys, he played his starters in game four the entire second half. Zero breaks, zero subs. You're my guys.
Right.
Bad decision. This is the playoffs. So he was asked about it. And listen to this.
Hey, Coach, back here. Back. As you watch the film, what do you recall about your thought process in the moment, sticking with the five you stuck with in the fourth quarter the other day? And is there an assistant or someone maybe that you'll lean on tonight, maybe to try to get, you know, some other guys involved if that opportunity presents itself?
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? You think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I, every single time. That's a weird assumption. All right.
And then he storms out.
Well, it would look like, you know, talk to your assistants based on your rotation, I would have said, you know.
Well, the whole thing was the facial stuff, right? I mean, we're an audio medium. You don't see his facial expressions while this reporter is asking a legitimate question. Dude, you didn't sub any of your dudes in the last game, and everybody's wondering why. Are you asking your assistants the kind of questions that may help you? He got offended from the start of the question, and he's making these faces like, you're a dumbass. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, because he's a Duke guy, and Duke guys are all a bunch of jerks. But now, and they're all, Carl, they're all presumptuous, and they're all elitists, and they're quite honest. They've got very, very bad intercommunication skills, if I'm honest here. But no, getting back, look, as I said, there's no one to play. What are you going to do, put Alex Len in there? That big stiff had 3 minutes in this entire series. They have no size. That was always going to be an issue. But there were some guys that had some size, and you decided to go with the smaller, and you just, the mismatches in the half court were obvious too. And who was it? It was Perkins this morning on ESPN, basically echoing what I was saying, and Day Day was saying last night. He was going off. He said, you put this squarely on the shoulders of J.J. Redick.
Yeah, soft body Luka didn't help. He just didn't. Luka was not special.
You know what that looked like at times, if I must tell you?
What's that?
I'm sort of like a plush version of Highway Cone. They just go right through.
No defense either. All right, man.
That was glaring at times.
Oh,
I know he's not going to do much, but he did less than what you'd expect.
Celtics exposed him last year. And he just got exposed again.
Right.
I'm just telling you, for all the hype and all the stuff that, oh, Luka, Luka, Luka. Okay, he's got some work to do.
Why do you hate Alabama and Luka so much?
We're coming back. We're still talking NFL. Where did he rank us when it comes to our draft rankings? Now, Mike and I didn't grade our draft, but other people are. We got to start breaking this down with some of these comments, and we'll do it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Thursday. It is Dukes and Bell, and we will talk about our Hawks because after the Lakers get beat in five, by the way, it's back-to-back years. LeBron has lost in five games.
Oof.
Gentleman's sweep is what they call it. We got to talk about our Hawks, and we will do that coming up a little bit later on. Mike, so, you know, you've got guys like Pete Prisco, CBS's Ryan Wilson. And I think we're going to get Ryan on, but some of these guys are, you know, they just want to rank our class. And when you do this, I just feel like you put an expectation on things that are sometimes unrealistic. Like when you give us an A+,
right?
Okay, well, what's that mean? Like what? Yeah. Every one of these draft picks is going to be what, an elite player? They're going to be a Pro Bowl, All Pro type player? What are we saying when you give the class an A+? I don't know how to translate that into what we're going to see in the season.
As we said, it's a study in futility because, you know, there's many times you can go back and look at it. Guys that were supposedly that knocked it out of the park, all of a sudden you realize, no, they didn't, you know, because there's all sorts of variables between injuries and just guys who don't live up to expectation. But in this case, it's required reading, it's required writing for columnists. But I mean, yes, if you believe, I guess you get an A+ if you agree wholeheartedly with the general consensus of all the experts, and then if you address your needs and grab the highest ranked guy. So you get an A+. And now, as we said, knowing that 50% of these first round picks are going to, you know, okay.
That's right.
But that's all this is based on. This is just simply, he was good. They drafted him. He was rated good. A+. Now, so it is, you know, okay. Ours, why do we get varying grades? Because some guys really like Pierce and some guys don't believe in Pierce. Guys love our middle round picks. They love our safety picks. You know, they think that's great. You know, Xavier Watts from Notre Dame gets high marks from almost everybody universally, and everyone loved Jalen Walker coming, following, however you want to describe it, getting to us. But Pierce is the linchpin of what we're going to be, and the grades reflect that.
It does. And again, if you're saying, Duke, you don't like the draft, no, I love our draft. I'm just not going to tell you it's an A+, because that's, to me, then you're telling me that all of these guys are going to be a hit, and I don't necessarily know that. Mm-hmm. I would tell you that Xavier Watts may have a bigger impact than Pierce this season. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute. Well, he's a third-round pick. Doesn't matter. if he's going to be on the field like we think, Mike, and he's a tone setter, and he's a guy that can support the run, he can cover, he's a ball hawk, he may have more impact, Mike, with turnovers and things of that nature than Pierce may in his first year being potentially a guy that may not see every down.
No, and that's why people have been asking us yesterday about the rotations and just how does this work. Well, I mean, first off, don't concern yourself with some of the guys that are already here. They may be watching these guys if they ball out. You know, again, there's a rotation. The famous, what, NASCAR package going all the way back to Strahan with the Giants, and there's lots of guys to stay fresh. That's the idea. Problem with us is we've had lots of guys, but they haven't had any impact.
Right.
So now we believe we've actually augmented with dudes that can get in there and really create some havoc. You and I are both a little bit concerned about the size or at least the depth at the tackle position, defensive tackle. But that aside, yeah, man, this if Pierce gets in there, and here's the other thing. If Pierce starts showing out, you think he's going to start situational? We have no way of knowing. You got maybe we're going to see what he does at camp in the preseason games. But if he sponges up everything they're teaching him and what they expect from him, then obviously the workload increases.
Look, I think third and long is a no-brainer. I think second and long, depending on the situation and personnel that's in the game, is a no-brainer. Right. But I cannot tell you right now he's going to be on the field every down. Jalen will be. There's a difference. Watts, if he's starting, will be. That's the difference. So when we talk, and if you ask me why, I will simply tell you, wait, getting bigger, stronger. He does a great job of coming off the edge and the bend and all of the stuff that we talk about. But, Mike, when you're on the field every down and all the things of that nature, it's just a different animal. And I think they know, and everybody else around the NFL knows, Jalen's built for that. He's not necessarily built for it. Plus, he's got a more compact frame. I'm talking about Jalen Walker.
Right.
So it's different, man. I don't know if he's going to be like this guy that every time off the edge, I'm coming off the edge. That's not what's going to happen here.
But it is going to be a guy, I will say this, I do believe in my heart of hearts as a Falcon fan, and we talked about this pre-draft. Imagine getting a guy that plugs right in and you know. And it would be one of the most colossal disappointments in recent draft history if Jalen isn't that guy. Everything you saw with Georgia, from the work ethic to the leadership to just playing the film, just beating guys. I mean, beating the, you know, we talked about the Texas games and the elites, and also just the fact that, you know, he's just that alpha. That's a guy that's going to be on the field and will hopefully be. I don't want to compare to Micah Parsons, but those are unavoidable. Every expert compares him to Micah Parsons.
They do, because of everything that they do. You know, when Dan Quinn was there, and we talked about this at one point when he was with Dallas, and there was the idea was you didn't know where Dan Quinn, DQ, was going to put him when you were playing Dallas, and it was the benefit. He might line up on the left side, might line up on the right side, might line up right over the center, and you were like, is he in coverage or is he coming? And it was one of the biggest guessing games. And if you guys don't remember, for 3 years straight, Dallas led the league in turnovers.
Right.
So Parsons was a big part of that because you always – and, Mike, that's Jalen. You always are going to have to figure out where he's coming from. And if you're not prepared, guess what? That could be a sack, a turnover, a missed block, and all of a sudden a tackle for loss. And now you've put them in a down-and-distance situation they don't want to be in. When you get behind the sticks as an offense, man, we control you. Mike, we haven't done enough of that. As a defense, we haven't done enough of that to be really good. Hopefully this kind of stuff can help us get there.
The complimentary football, you think back like, man, those defense were lights out. And then they lose to the Packers because your offense on the Dallas Cowboys couldn't do anything. Remember Dak was just terrible in that playoff loss to Green Bay a couple years ago? And then you just kept turning it over, flipping the field. And that, you know, even a Micah Parsons can't save that.
No.
But in this case, we've got an offense we believe in. Now, again, this is really, if you go take, I mean, do you consider Michael Penix Jr. a rookie? How do you as a fan feel? I mean, I saw enough, some big moments. There's nothing bigger in a young football player's career than national TV, Sunday night, that game against the Commanders. It got flexed, and the stakes were high. And he made a mistake, and then he did enough to win it later in the game.
It didn't feel like the moment was too big for him.
Agreed.
And the touchdown to Pitts, that's a big-time throw, y'all. I mean, that's
and watch it. He threads the needle.
That window is about this big, and he's like, I'm going to put it in there. And Pitts made the catch. I'm confident, Mike, that he showed us enough in those three games. Let's hear from our offensive coordinator, because this is the other thing that was asked about yesterday, and that is what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins being here and practicing and showing up. And Zach Robinson, the OC, said, look, there are no issues here.
It's been fine. You know, we're obviously, you know, just getting back in the building. Kirk's been here, you know, a handful of days. And so, you know, for us, it's just we're just going back to work. And for Kirk, obviously, he's in a role that he, you know, ended the season in as the backup, and would expect him to, you know, just like he did last year, just be there for Mike, be there for anybody on the offense. For me, when I'm up there installing, it's really not that much different. We had that same situation late in the season. Obviously, when we made the switch, everybody got on board with it then, and everybody's, you know, on board with it now, obviously. But Kirk's obviously valuable player to this offense, to this team, you know, and he's here. We're going to coach him just like we do every other player on the team. So I don't feel an awkwardness personally, you know, with me or the coaches, but you know, I understand he wants to go play somewhere, but shoot, we'll coach the guys that are here and expect Kirk to, you know, to give us the same thing back.
Yeah, I mean, after all of us talking about this, Carl, since January and the Super Bowl nonsense, maybe it's a non-story. Maybe he just keeps his head down. As we said, the players don't really care. You know, we'll ask a few questions. We'll try to talk to Kurt, and they're probably not going to let us. But then, you know, at some point, you're going to probably find out that either he gets released or some team comes calling, but we're never going to get anything close to what we thought we were going to get.
I don't think he's going to be a bad teammate. I don't foresee that. And what I mean is
being... You don't think he holds out?
No. Or being disruptive. I don't. Kirk's never done that.
Showing up for the mini camp, he kind of proves that's not going to be the way it's going to play, right?
But even in situations where things have not looked good in Washington for a short time when he was there and they ultimately franchise tagged him, I just feel like he's going to be a good teammate regardless of how this may feel or look for him. But that's interesting that, you know, again, Zach's like, no issue. And we're back to where we were. Let's hope that's the case. Because I'll tell you this, Michael Penix needs all the support he can get. He doesn't need distractions. And he certainly doesn't need somebody in the building pouting about, you know, sitting in the corner, Mike, and looking mad, and you mean mugging me all the time, and you got the resting bee face on. I don't need all that.
Because, as I said, when I got a chance, the best seats I had all year were in the Bucks game down at Raymond James, where he's like a de facto coach. Remember, I kept texting you, you got to see this, man. Cousins basically walking up and down the sideline, talking to receivers, talking to Bijan, talking to his offensive line. You know, when it looks like the Bucks are getting some momentum, he's like, literally like another coach. I was like, wow. That's why, you remember that we played that soundbite, Bijan, this dude's legit. That's what made it so wackadoodle and so just counterintuitive when everything played out the way it played out, you know, from what was said and what was done, then what was said and what was done. So that's why I don't know what this guy's about.
We're going to find out.
I mean, he's got talent. You know, he's never won a playoff game. Some of that's his fault. Some of that's beyond his control in different games. But, you know, is this just a dude who's going to end the day, be a quarterback that made a lot of money, never won anything?
Coming up, 4th and 1 is on the way. What if I told you he's incarcerated, but still has a dream? We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.